Welcome to the Brew, Drink, Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Hey, hey, my beautiful babies. Welcome back to the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. This is episode number 196 for those of you keeping score at home. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
I'm Raymond.
Oh, so professional. I want to thank everybody again for those Potty Award votes. They really are coming in strong for Best Beer and Sports Podcast. That sounds perfect. Join us on March 3rd at 6 p.m. at Service Brewing Company in Savannah for BDR 200. We'll be recording our 200th episode and sampling our collaboration beer with Service. Check our Facebook page to RSVP. And as a reminder, this is a 21 and over event. If this is your first time listening to our podcast, this is a mini episode where we drink one beer and talk about that beer. The previous episode and the next episode are our full episodes where we also talk about homebrewing and running, in addition to reviewing a regular release and usually the second one's something pretty weird. If you like the show, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Google Home, Amazon Alexa, or wherever you grab your podcast and write a short review. Your ratings and reviews help more people to find the show. Or tell a friend by posting about the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If you do that, tag us at Brew Drink Run. Today's a fun one because it's kind of a flashback. We are going to be drinking a beer that we've had on the show before, but not in a very long time. Keith, what are we having today?
We have ourselves a bottle of Allagash Cool Ship Resurgum. This is bottled in... let's see, July 27th, 2011, we had this, I'm not sure what point in its aging process the first time around.
We had it on episode 5, if you want to go back and listen to that, and at that point it was 1 year old.
1 year old, okay. So we're having a 6.5 year old beer-ish, or maybe a little more than that, actually. It's getting close to 8 years, I'm sorry, 7 years, and we are, trying it again. This is Raymond's bottle, so you... If I remember correctly, got this at the brewery. Did you go up there and visit? Yep. Okay.
Yeah. This was way back then. the family and I loaded up and drove to Maine from Orlando is actually where we started. And it was kind of a big art trip that my wife was dealing with and her project. But I made sure that we stopped at every brewery that was possible along the way, mm-hmm. and Allagash was one of them. I took a nice tour there and, of course, picked up a couple of bottles, and I picked up two of this, brought it back, and we drank it on, I guess, the fifth episode, and then I just took this and stuck it in a closet, and it's been sitting there ever since, so I'm hoping it's still good.
We all are.
We all are.
I think that's great. There's a ton of information about that first or that trip up to Maine over on the website. You did a great job writing up some of your notes from that trip. And then also we talked about it a good bit on that episode as well. So for those of you who like to dive deep, hey, Mike, I'm talking about you. Be sure to go back and revisit that one. There's some good stuff on it to listen to. Do you remember anything about this beer the last time, Keith? I'm going to pull up your notes here in a second.
But I remember really liking it. I'm going to guess it was, that 6 years ago. This was probably one of my early experiences with not only sours in general, but with Allagash sours, which tend to be fairly, at least fresh, fairly intense. So I'm going to guess I thought it was pretty sour and sweet, tarty. And that kind of thing, and maybe a little bit funky. They use a lot of, get some wildness in there. So that's what I'm going to guess is going on. I remember really, really liking it and really appreciating the rarity of it. This is not something that you can generally just run down to the store and pick up when it comes out. So I'm glad to be able to try it again, but that's about all I really remember.
Raymond, what about you? Was there anything that stuck out about this beer last time we had it?
It was, if not... the first real sour beer that I'd ever had, certainly one of. And I remember sweet tarts times 100 is what I remember kind of thinking about. It's just really intense, but also had a little bit of sweetness to it to help balance things out. And I remember liking it a lot and have now hunted down all sorts of sours as a result of this one.
All right. Well, I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't do our whole little rundown here. Describe the bottle for us, Raymond.
So this is a came in a 12.7 fluid ounce bottle, 375 milliliters. So a small green bottle, very simple label, kind of a wine label decal, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of that rough paper or whatever. And looks like old type as for the printing on it. It says Cool Ship or Surgeon and ale aged in oak barrels, and it's very typeset, just all text.
And do I remember right? Is the Resurgem the one that there's not a fruit?
I think that's right. I think this is the base from which they make all of the fruited Cool Ships. I'm not sure if those are true lambics or not, but when the fruit sours, or this is the base, I believe.
All right, and this has been poured into glasses. Raymond, now that it's poured into the glass, is it bringing back any memories? What do you see?
It's not. I don't remember what it looked like the first time around. It's kind of that peachy color. It's got some oranges to it. Poured with a little bit of a head, so, and it had a nice little pop when the cork came out. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's still a little carbonated in there.
The cork was a little bit of a struggle. I had to like work at it, so yeah. It wasn't like one that just sort of came right out. So so I guess that's kind of a good sign for probably oxidation issues. So.
Yeah. We didn't say that. It was caged in cork.
Yeah. Is there like empirical data that kind of has been done to test to see if the cork is legitimately the better, you know, method for these bottles that are going to be, obviously the wine industry does this and has done this forever, but I didn't know how much of that was just historical, like just because we've always done it, or is there additional evidence that's not just anecdotal that corking a bottle is going to help it last longer?
Well, I think that the cork works well because you lay the wine down, right? And so doesn't the moisture
keeps the cork expanded.
But you're typically not wanting to lay beer down because of yeast sediment and that kind of thing. I think that it's I think it's a good safety issue. If you're using something and there's going to be yeast left behind and you're saying, hey, you might want to hold on to this for a long period of time, putting that cage, because I mean, I've had some that I've taken the cage off and I look down, I'm like, oh, that thing's moving. I better get before it shoots out and puts a hole in the ceiling. Yeah. So it's been rare, but there's been those occasions where that cage was really necessary. It was holding that thing on. So I think it's more aesthetic than anything else, really. But maybe there's a study, maybe something's been done, but I think it's more of a, this looks really cool. This is a special bottle. There's definitely some marketing going on there with that. You know, it's like, oh, buy this fancy beer, which a lot of times is true. It is a fancy beer and you want to enjoy it, you know.
I do remember the last time we had this, we spent an inordinate amount of time talking about the fact that it was in a glass green bottle as opposed to being a dark brown bottle. And I think that, you know, testing all of our common wisdom at the time about the color of the glass, perhaps having some impact if it was stored, how it was stored, with affecting the liquid inside. I think that will probably be just fine. a few years of beer tasting under our belts. I don't know that we need to spend that amount of time talking about it. The aroma, Keith, what do you get on the nose of this beer?
It's really nice. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of sugary sweetness, but it's also kind of mixing with a nice kind of apple cider vinegar thing. It's not too potent. It's not sort of burning the nose with its sourness. You know, it's really a kind of a nice blend of kind of sweet and a little bit of grain, a little bit of, you know, sweet tart candy kind of thing, that kind of apple cider vinegar going on. It's quite nice, actually. It's held up really, really well aroma-wise. I'm not getting any obvious signs of kind of cardboardy oxidation or any of those other kinds of issues or that kind of thing. Sometimes you can get a little bit of that kind of green apple kind of thing going on, and I'm not getting that. It seems to have held up pretty well on the nose.
I'm glad I waited, came back to it before I talked about it, because the first smell that I got was pretty intense for me. I mean, just kind of a real punch. But when I came back in the last few, it really has blended, and I think you did a great job describing it. Did you leave anything out, Raymond?
No. That was great.
Great. Well, let's all have our first sips for the first time in a while of this beer.
Wow. Seems to have changed from at least what I maybe have remembered it. That sour puckering intensity has really fallen off quite a bit.
Yeah, and you really are left with that. Like we said, this was a non-fruited sour. So you're not left with the kind of lingering bits of fruit sweetness or citrus or tartness from that. It really is this kind of shell in a way. It's really interesting what's been left behind here.
It has some, the sourness that we all seem to remember being rather tart. The tartness has gone, but there's still a funkiness, and there's also more of a almost like a wine-like quality to this beer now than there was before. Even though it came out with a big pop, I don't feel like the carbonation is huge, and so that's really sort of kind of messing with my head a little bit with the wine. There's something else. There's another flavor in there. It might take me a minute to find it, but there's something almost minerally or something going on in there, and I can't quite place what it is.
I think that's fair. The mineral quality, it does kind of remind me of some of the mineral water kind of a thing. There is that, it's not an acidity, but it is just kind of, and it's not metallic, that's too far, but it's somewhere in between that. And that there's some of that for sure.
There's like a pepperiness going on in this as well. It's like almost like a white pepper.
But it's so odd without the base flavor, without being able to let that play off of a fruit or a big heavy malt or another quality, because you're left with these kind of things that we usually use as ways to round out the flavors that we talk about. They're these kind of additional side pieces. We're really trying to get nerdy about it. It's like we have those parts of the beer and not the middle part, not the kind of meatier part, to me anyway. It's a really interesting tasting sensation. Well,
there is sort of almost a fruitiness coming out in this, but it's
a grape, a mild
grape, or even maybe just a slight touch of like pear or some kind of fleshy white. It's not apple, but it's definitely like a kind of grape or almost even a touch of melon going on. It's mild, but there is a little fruitiness going on in the flavor of this for sure.
Well, we all seem to be pretty kind of muted in our talk about this beer, so I think it would be great to go back in the old time machine and hear what we had to say about this for our first taste last time we had it. Smell is tart and funky.
Tart and sour and funky.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
This is what you get for your wild yeast, everybody. Yeah, some tart and funkiness.
Holy. Oh, wow.
Woo!
Hello. It's good, but...
Wow, that's sour.
For a year old, it might need some more time. It could have used another couple of years. Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, this is a really...
I've had some sour beers, and this is the first one that I think I've had quite that reaction.
Now, the resurgence is... So there you go. I mean, that's a pretty... Yeah. Just from the sound of our voices, you can tell that there was some kickback to this that we were not expecting.
Old me thought this was intense. Or young me, I guess.
Well, it was a different beer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think that chances are, even with those extra couple of years of beer drinking experience in our belts, the way that we seem to have described it, that I think we still would have found it, you know, having it at that same 1 year back, being able to recreate that experience, I don't think our taste buds have changed. I think the beer definitely has changed.
Yeah. I mean, without a doubt, this beer has become something that it wasn't before. Hard to say if it's better or worse without a side by side. This might be a little more drinkable. You know, we would have shared this. I think I could drink this entire bottle, where I don't think I could have done that the first time. I mean, from that reaction, I don't think any of us were probably all like, I'm glad we're splitting this single serve bottle, you know. But this one, it's got an interesting, like I said, there's some flavor in there that I'm not quite getting. I don't know if it's like a sherry flavor or something. I don't know. There's something going on in here that
like
I can't...
Like a dry wine.
Yeah, it's just something. Something's going on in it that I can't quite pick out.
I'm getting a lot of oak. The oak this time is coming through. Mm. But I also taste like olives. So it's got kind of a...
That's actually not too
martini
far.
Kind of feel to me.
Huh. I wouldn't have gone... I really don't care for olives. I find them to be like the turn in them to be a little much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that. I mean, or maybe it's just not as...
No, I get what you're saying, because there's like a little, almost like a little earthy kind of quality. And I'm not generally a big fan of olive either. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of olives either. So I wouldn't. But yeah, I get that. I get what you're saying
for sure. These were your words in your spreadsheet, Keith. This is how you described this beer: a barrel-aged beer that's a blend of both young and old, unfruited, spontaneous beer. The smell is so sour and funky, I can hardly wait to taste it. Super tart and funky, this is like a liquefied sweet tart. Just a hint of sweetness is followed by a large dose of sourness. Getting hints of the woodiness from the barrel, I cannot for the life of me explain why I love this so much, but this beer was so amazing. 5 out of 5, A+.
Yeah. No, I remember really liking it. Yeah, I mean, even from my reaction of saying it could probably have aged longer, I was still really into what was going on at the time. It was just intense. You know, a little goes a long way.
Raymond, so we talked about this beer in that little flashback sequence. Mm-hmm. Keith said maybe we should let it age for a little bit longer, a couple of years, which we did. Did it go too long?
I think so.
Yeah.
I miss the sourness. I miss the carbonation. Mm-hmm. This probably would have been at least two years, don't you think?
I think in another year maybe would have been, in hindsight, maybe the time to see what had happened to it. But I think we also, as a collective whole, began to really appreciate that sour intensity more for what it was, you know, and what it is as we drank more of these things. So I really would be surprised to see what our reaction would it be to it now. I mean, there's a handful of sour beers that I've had that reaction to, but I haven't had that reaction to a sour beer lately. Not that I drink a ton of them, but not lately have I had one that I've opened where I've been like, you know, So I think maybe my palate has really adjusted to them, but there's no time machine to go back into, and unfortunately not like a fresh, fresh bottle to be had, so.
Oh, well. Well, let's wrap up our resurgum with a little visit to Keith's spreadsheet.
We're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this.
Shout out to Tom for posting the Runners Let's Do This banner over on the Brew Drink Run Facebook page, saying that he could not read it without hearing that in the Key Spreadsheet theme song. I appreciate that. It's time of our show where we go to Key Spreadsheet, his epic document with brief reviews of all the beers he's tried over the last couple of years. This is the game where I read one of those descriptions and we see if Raymond can guess what it is. Kind of throwing him a softball this week, because it's one that not only just makes good sense with what we're talking about here, but it's also one that I wanted to revisit talking about a little bit. I'm going to try to leave out some of the really explicit telltales, which there are a lot in this, so bear with me as I jump all around this review. Raymond, are you ready?
No!
All right, here we go. This is a really fantastic sour. The taste starts with a quick blast of sourness. Nothing too intense if you're used to drinking sour ales. This is followed by a subtle bit of pumpkin flesh and toasted pumpkin seed flavor. A mild but much appreciated bit of molasses comes out of the finish. As the beer warmed a bit, vanilla and oak from the barrel itself appeared in the flavor as well. It's all very subtle, and everything is subjective when it comes to beer. There's a little description about that. I'm going to leave that out because you probably already know what it is. Do you know what it is before I read any more?
I believe I do.
Okay, go for it.
I think this is Allagash's Ghoulship, isn't it?
It is. It is. So I did leave out the thanks to DD and Allagash for sending us this. I kind of danced around the beginning whole part about a spooky play on Ghoulship. I did leave some of the ones that were just basically telling you what it was. And you've got a note in here about Andrew, who tried it with us, our buddy Andrew, okay. Who's you may have heard on our last podcast episode, who is not a big sour drinker, who really was having trouble getting past the tartness to find those other more subtle flavors in it when we had a chance to try that with him. We commented that we're happy that Allagash brewed it again, and happy to mark it off of your list. So what do you remember about this one, Keith, other than what we just talked about?
Ghoulship? Not a whole lot. In fact, I was sitting there kind of going through the Rolodex trying to remember a pumpkin sour.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like I liked it fairly well. I mean, I don't really remember the whole experience.
You went 4 out of 5 A on it.
Yeah,
I think if I remember correctly, we drank this one in my backyard. Is that where we had this one?
I don't know that it was in your backyard, but it was definitely kind of a
more informal.
I think we record.
Was it in a podcast?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. That does kind of sound like it. Sounded like maybe Andrew was down, maybe for the Kreitz or something before everyone started going out to Tybee or something like that, yeah. Or the rock and
Holiday,
roll,
yeah.
Or something. Because that would have been in the fall. So
all this makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I really don't remember that beer that well. I do remember being happy to try it and being like, oh, cool, this is great. But so it could have been in a podcast, I guess.
Episode 48.
All right.
Okay, it was. So I remember the experience. I want to say that was the first time I'd had like something that was really, really difficult to find. Certainly associated with podcast, but I remember that experience quite a bit. I don't remember the beer all that much, but...
Yeah, I remember being extremely like surprised. Dee Dee was actually on an episode of the podcast. You know, we talked to her and interviewed her for the site, and was super excited to get that beer. She has worked at Allagash, has done many, many jobs there the past few years, but came up with the recipe for Allagash Black, if I remember correctly. That was kind of like her baby while she was there, and I think she's moved on to do other things within the company. So that was really cool. I remember that being neat that we got a really kind of limited release thing sent to us. But I remember really liking this one. You gave this one a four out of five. I think that I probably would have gone a little bit higher because I really did like the combination of the sour with that pumpkin flesh. I felt like it complemented really interestingly. And that was probably during a time that I was, you know, really enjoying a lot of pumpkin beers, you know, and not that
four out of five for me is, it's not, there's not a whole lot of 5 out of 5s. I mean, that's just like really blew my mind in one way or another. So 4 out of 5, I think, is, you know, those are some quite amazing beers as well. And some of them have gone up, you know, over the years, and some of those 5s have gone down. But yeah, no, I don't remember that beer. I don't remember that beer. I mean, now that we're talking about it, I go, oh, yeah, we did have that. And it was good. But, you know, when you're nearly 4,000 beers in, you know, it's kind of hard to really remember all of them. So.
Out of 3,974 beers in the spreadsheet, we're coming up on 4,000.
Coming up on 4,000.
3,974. Do you want to take a guess as to how many are 5 out of 5?
We've done this fairly
recently.
It's been
a while, though.
It wasn't a whole lot. It was in the 20s or 30s or something like that.
No, it's more than that.
Is it?
184.
184, all right.
But think about that percentage-wise.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's a very low percentage out of beers that have gotten that. To think out of having almost 4,000 beers and only 184, have you been like, yeah, this is pretty close to perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that seems low, but I think that makes sense. I think we all have a lot of really good beers, but every now and then it's like, you know, just mind blown. I kind of wonder what anyone who's never had this, even in the year that when we had it, what people would think about it now. I mean, with someone opening a bottle of, you know, 2011, you know, of this at like a bottle share, would people like lose their minds and be like, oh, I can't believe it's so good just because of the rarity and the age on it? Or would people have the same reaction that we're having to its...
at least it didn't go bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, no. I mean, I actually still kind of like this. Yeah. I do think this is really interesting. I don't think... This isn't a 5 out of 5 beer as it stands here in its aged state, but I do still really like it. I think it's interesting and... an experiment of aging it this long, I think, has been, you know, it's not my money, so worth it. I don't know. But you know what I mean? It's like one of those things where it's like, I have to sit there and wonder like what someone's impression who's either never had it or, you know, had it at a different point in time or even had it at the same point in time, what other reactions might be to trying, especially someone who's never had it. Would they just be like, what their assumption is something would have been something like this, you know? Yeah. Interesting.
Nice way to wrap that up. Raymond, any final thoughts? This was one of your babies that you got on vacay and you've held on to all this time. Final thoughts on the Cool Ship Recircum?
Well, kind of confirms my take on aging beer. So I've soured on it a little bit.
No.
Yeah, I did it. You know, I think you ought to drink beers when you get them.
I'm feeling that way more and more too, I gotta say. Yeah. But this was definitely a fun experiment. I definitely think it's still enjoyable. Yeah. It is very different than what it was. So if you've had one of these and you've been sitting on it and you've never tried this beer, you're gonna have maybe not what the brewery intended right. when you have it. But hopefully, if you've got a nice strong cork in there, it's gonna have some interesting flavors for you, and you might get some of what we did. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Brew Drink Run. Plus, we're all on Untappd. If you want to be a part of the show, email us, team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running, or your favorite place to grab a beer. You can also call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts available at our website. Click on the store link. We just sold one of those last week. Was that either of you guys?
No.
I think it was that plug we did talking about how soft they were from Mike's email. I think that was it. So
I like soft t-shirts.
Yeah, right.
I like this podcast. why not?
Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at the bar. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh. Wow. Nice.
Well done. I saw a BDR glass pop up on Untappd the other day.
From whom? I don't know. You didn't like stop and like it or like take a screenshot?
I did like it, but...
Could have been anybody, you guys. If you were that person that Raymond saw on Untappd with a BDR glass, let us know at team@brewdrinkrun.com.